Good morning. Today we continue the series on the Ten Commandments, which is the greatest moral code the world has ever known. Today we focus on the fourth commandment, as is recorded for us in Exodus 20, verses 8 through to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The fourth commandment itself is not at all hard to understand. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So one day in seven was set aside as holy, and it was the seventh day, Saturday, as per our calendar, because that is when God rested from his creative work. The commandment itself is simple and straightforward, establishing a fixed day of rest and worship each week for all of Israel to observe. Now, why is this commandment such a source of controversy? Because there is widespread disagreement in the Christian community about whether it applies at all to Christians, and if so, how it is to be applied, having regard to the fact that there is a moral aspect to this law as well as a ceremonial aspect. I commend to you five principles that should help us understand and hopefully inspire our conformity to the fourth commandment. Today I will give you three of those principles, and next week the remaining two. I am indebted to the writings of Pastor Phil Johnson of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, for the classification of these principles. Principle number one, the Sabbath looked back to creation. The first allusion to the Sabbath appears in Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3, where we read, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." There is no mention of the word Sabbath anywhere in Genesis. There is no mention of the word Sabbath in the Bible until Exodus chapter 16, when manna began to come down to feed the Israelites in the wilderness. There is no suggestion here in Genesis that God imposed Sabbath observance on Adam. In fact, he didn't, and he couldn't have, because Adam was less than a day old and had no works to rest from. Furthermore, if Adam had obeyed God in the garden and abstained from eating the forbidden fruit, his life was designed to be a perpetual Sabbath rest, living in the garden and enjoying the presence of God with a daily existence that was free from any kind of exhausting labor. But the Sabbath was instituted after the fall, after the flood, and after the Israelites left Egypt. It was a gracious gift to the Old Testament Israelites that enabled them to experience one day each week a small taste of what life in Eden was supposed to be. The Sabbath was a perpetual reminder of what humanity had forfeited in Eden. As far as worshiping on the seventh day is concerned, no such ordinance is either given or implied in Scripture until the time of Moses. Principle number two, the Sabbath looked forward to redemption. This is a major point according to the writer of Hebrews. More specifically, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest." The Sabbath pointed backward to creation and the example of God's rest, but it also looked forward towards a future rest, which the people had not yet entered into, and they could not enter that rest if they remained in rebellion against God. Disobedience would keep them, the Israelites, out. The Bible uses a word for disobedience that speaks of obstinate disbelief and defiance against God. Hebrews 4, verses 6 to 7 states, "Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience," again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today." Now, what kind of rest do people not enter into because they harden their hearts against God? This is talking about the rest that comes with redemption. And what is the appointed day? Today. That is the day of grace. That is every day until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. The writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 95, verse 11, which recounts how God forbade an entire rebellious generation of Israelites from entering into the promised land of Canaan. And Canaan itself was a picture of paradise and redemption for God's people. So the writer of Hebrews applies Psalm 95, 11 this way. He sees it as a graphic lesson about ultimate redemption. He says it's talking about something more than the Israelites entering literal Canaan. He says there's another rest, a greater rest, an eternal heavenly rest yet to come. And this is what the Sabbath pictures. The writer of Hebrews recognized that David, who wrote the psalm many years after Joshua's time, was speaking of a still future rest, even though the people by that time had finally entered Canaan. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, verses 8 to 9 states, "For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." The Sabbath therefore points forward to a yet future rest. It is a rest of redemption. It is the rest of salvation by grace through faith. The Sabbath was a lesson about redemption and how one enters into that experience. Redemption is not obtained by one working for it, but by entering into the Lord's rest through repentant faith. This was why Jesus was so incensed at the corruption of the Sabbath by the Pharisees. They had made the Sabbath into a drudgery with rigid laws and stern punishments. It was never supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be a refreshing rest from labor, signifying the way of salvation. So the Sabbath wasn't just a backward-looking ordinance. It was a forward-looking object lesson about the way of redemption. Principle number 3. The Sabbath has reference to God's rest. The Sabbath was a reminder that God rested, and it graciously invited the people of God to enter into God's rest. God did not rest because he was tired and needed to be refreshed. God rested because his work of creation was finished. It was a rest that celebrated a finished work. In other words, the Sabbath signified entering into God's rest with him. God was graciously sharing with his people the rest of his finished work in creation. And that is why the forward-looking aspect of the Sabbath is so central to the meaning of the Sabbath. The future rest of redemption, like the historic rest of creation, signifies the finished work of God himself. The Israelites were not to think that they were earning their own rest by working the other 6 days of the week. Their earthly work was never complete, and yet God graciously gave them one day each week to rest and celebrate his finished work. This is absolutely central to the meaning of the Sabbath. It was a token of divine grace. It pictured the rest we obtain through salvation. It is not a rest we earn by our own works. It is a rest that is graciously given to us through Christ, who has done all the saving work on our behalf. Redemption from start to finish is the work of Christ. Well does Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 state, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The purpose of the fourth commandment was theological and spiritual. It reminds us of the eternal Sabbath rest that is entered into by those who cease from their labors and find their salvation in Christ alone. That is what is prefigured, and that is why as Christians we regard the form of Israel's Sabbath observance as predominantly ceremonial. We who have entered into the true rest purchased for us by Christ don't need to retreat to the shadows of holy days or new moons or Sabbath days. Those things are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Colossians 2, verse 17. Next week, we will continue the discussion on the fourth commandment.